He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. We often reserve the title disciple for these individuals that followed Jesus of Nazareth around on these dusty roads in ancient Palestine, and they slept under the stars because the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to be. And we think of these folks as super folks, super followers of Jesus. And they got to be Jesus' disciples just because they happened to land on the timeline at the same time and in the same geographic location as this person, Jesus of Nazareth. But the truth is, by the time Jesus has these people following him around, he has had disciples for hundreds and thousands of years already. Because as the story goes the way it is presented in our Holy Scriptures, disciples of Jesus are any people who are committed to the renewal of God's creation through justice and through mercy. In fact, Isaiah might be one of those disciples exemplar who lives 800 years before Jesus. And he exposes himself as a disciple of Jesus when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim this commitment that I have to the renewal of the earth through justice and mercy, bringing good news to the oppressed, binding up brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." Isaiah was a disciple, and yet he probably didn't even know where the town of Nazareth might lay on the map one day. Or even closer to Jesus, but yet Jesus' own disciple, before he is even born, is his mother Mary. And the reason we remember disciples on this day and often remember Mary is we light a pink candle. Though I imagine if Mary would hear, she would chafe at the gender coding of that candle. Mary is another disciple exemplar, because she is already, before she meets this person, Jesus of Nazareth, she's already committed to the project of God to renew all things through justice and mercy. And we could have had this, instead of Psalm 126 today, we could have had Mary's song in that place. And if we would have, we would have heard these as the last lines of it. "He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he had made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever." There are disciples before there is ever a Jesus of Nazareth. And they follow this commitment to make the world new. And yet another one of these, and the one that our gospel reading is about this morning, is John the Baptist, who also has this commitment. He has a commitment that starts, as you know, with a yearning. He wants the Lord to come. In fact, he tells us his job is to prepare that way. And he doesn't know where he comes from. He is waiting in the wilderness. And that waiting is refining and fostering and feeding that longing that he has for this renewal through justice and mercy of the world. But it is in John's life that we get to see how we live when we yearn and we wait, and what it means to act as a disciple, one who is committed to the project of God. Well, one of the first things that we get to learn, in fact, the very first thing that we learn about John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, is that he tells us right off the bat something very important about himself. He tells us he is not the light. This characteristic of discipleship, I think, is one that we learn from him most importantly. In fact, John the Baptist will never get in the way of the light. He only and always deflects to it. And you might say, well, that's easy to do. I mean, Jesus is his cousin. He might already have the sense of his greatness. But I tell you, folks, and your life might be an example of this too. If you were a charismatic speaker who was able to draw crowds, who was able to get the attention of the religious leaders, who had all kinds of people coming to them, you might at least a little bit want to say you were part of the light. But John makes it very clear, his role is not light, not the light. And I think that's a very important characteristic of being committed to the renewal of the creation through justice and mercy. And that oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because we forget this discipleship characteristic, which is we are followers of Jesus and not Jesus. We are testifiers to the light and not the light itself. We are the ones that look and long and yearn and wait for a solution that we are not providing. We are not fixers. We are the ones that look for the cosmic fix in the action of justice and mercy in the world. We're not light. But it doesn't mean that we just, you know, demean ourselves in this kind of spiritual humility of which John is the greatest exemplar of it. If anyone ever had reason to brag, it would have been John. In fact, Jesus later on says, no person born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. And yet, he is great because he continues to say he is not the light. But he'll testify to it. He is going to testify the light. His job is to make sure that you all know where the light is shining from. And that's the second characteristic that John teaches us about discipleship. Is if we can recognize that we are not the source of this light that is going out into the world, we can start to point people at the light in the corners from which it shines through. Now, when I talk about testifying to the light, I'm not talking about being Pollyanna-ish. I'm not talking about always looking on the bright side, literally. What I'm doing is saying that if you're going to testify to the light, there's a reason for you to testify to it. And that is because there is much darkness all around. And if you cannot find that light, light needs testimony because it is not easily perceived. John knows that if he is not the light, he must tell people where the light is. And if people need to be told where it is, it's because they cannot see it. And there are all kinds of reasons to be living in darkness. In fact, testifying to the light assumes that the darkness seems to be overwhelming. And the light needs to have attention brought to it. What a great discipline in a time of darkness. To sit and look, and in impossible situations, try to perceive where there is light coming through in cracks and in crevices. Where there is light that seems to have been almost distinguished in some dark corner of whether it is the room in your mind or whether it is the room that is our neighborhood or our world. We get to sit down and look and yearn and wait and find that light. And when we see it, we get to tell people it is there. Because they are in that moment feeling as though they live in a lightless world. We don't say choose light over darkness. We say we know that darkness is overwhelming you. Let us show you where the light is. But the third discipleship characteristic that I find in John here, and this is the one that really kind of tries to upend the other two, is that disciples have to have thick skin. Because what they're doing, people will say, should have better results. They'll say, it's a cop-out to say you're not the light. I mean, what good are you anyway if you can't provide solutions and fixes? And that's what these religious leaders come out to do. And there's for several reasons for this. I mean, you want to know why people want to claim a little bit of light for themselves? It's because when things are not going right, the pressure gets put on them from other places to provide that solution and not just provide testimony to the light. But also, people come to claim, well, if you're the light, fix things, because they already seem to be claiming part of the light for themselves. And the disciple needs to be able to stand their ground, to deflect the temptation of taking on some of the light for themselves. And also to just get discouraged, to say, I will join just those in darkness. And John does this in a very interesting way, because they ask him about a very specific thing he's doing. He's baptizing people. And they say, if you're not the light, if you're not the Messiah, you're not a prophet, you're not Elijah, you've got no right to do this. And he said, well, I've got water. I've got a resource, and I know that that resource and the cleansing that people get in that resource, though it is not the light itself, the actions that I take testify to the light with the resource I have in front of me right now. And when I'm at the river, that resource is water. And anybody who wants that in the name of the light that's coming after me, I'll give it to them. I will give it to them. And I'm not going to try to overperform. I'm not going to try to do more than I can. But I am going to do what I can with what I presently have. I mean, maybe all three of these things show that the main characteristic of discipleship is just true, active humility. Now, I think it's a great thing that there are disciples of Jesus before there's ever even a physical Jesus. Because there continue to be disciples of Jesus after we don't have the physical presence of Jesus around anymore. And in fact, I think it's a very interesting kind of feature of John's gospel, maybe the most interesting feature of his gospel. He starts his story with people who have not met Jesus and yet are his disciples. And then he ends his story by saying, there are going to be lots of disciples of Jesus who never meet Jesus. And he can say that because he knows the discipleship is about being committed to the project of God to renew all things with judgment and with mercy. To work out those places in the world which we wish would go away, and to put in places where there is hurt, comfort. And so we can participate in this way too. We are disciples, though we have never walked in any dusty road in Palestine. Not as dusty as it would have been. I know somebody's probably been to the Holy Land in here, but I'm telling you, there was more dust in Jesus' day. You still get to be a disciple. 2,000 years after, just like 800 years before, Isaiah got to be a disciple. Just like 2,000 years before, Abraham got to be a disciple. You get to be a disciple if you will commit yourself to being not the light, to looking for and testifying to the light. And under pressure to overperform or to give up, you're able to say, at least I've got water here right now. Why don't we use it? Amen.